spell would of as would of, need to get the hell out of my life.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, July 25th. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, here in the Classic Factory, Tass Mellis.
What a change up today, Skeets.
Baseball style. Making the magic happen over yonder, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Yeah, apologies to everybody that was pumped for a little no bunts here on a Monday with Mets pitcher Trevor May, sort of at the last second, little rain delay. Some clouds came in over the mountains, and we had to push that back a day. So Trevor May, Mets pitcher, is going to join you tomorrow.
Yeah, very excited about that. Okay. He's coming on tomorrow. Lots to talk about. Very interesting guy. He's not just a pitcher. He does a lot, but we'll have some fun. And maybe we did it to build up another 24 hours of suspense. Yeah, a little more interest.
It's true.
Possibly.
It's true.
Just more tweets, really.
So once we found that that had to be delayed, we said, why not let's get in here and talk a little basketball, because there was a big story dropped late last night, or I guess really early on Monday morning. Shout out to the stream team, though, joining us live right now. Hit that like button, subscribe, share the show, comment away as you guys are in the stream team, and email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com.
Where were you going to go?
I don't know.
Instead of The Athletic?
I don't know. look, you know, I'm a man of, I'm not like Lee Ellis where I have to have a banana before 8 a.m. every morning.
I hear you.
But I am a man of schedule, and things got twisted this morning, and yeah, I've been scrambling a little bit. Email to nodunks@theathletic.com. Your NBA questions or your baseball questions or your F1 questions, because we will have a No Breaks episode later this week. That's got its own separate podcast feed and YouTube feed. Trey Kirby has a special guest.
Yes.
Joining him on No Breaks to talk about French Grand Prix. Yes.
We won't have a no guests show because there's too many of them. But I hear you, Skeets. We're scrambling. I called you. I said we need to
Tass
do
called
something
me.
Different.
You knew, yeah. I knew something was up when I saw Tass was
what
called
What the heck
me.
Is going on? But I right now I'm tracking the Twitters just because it feels like he said the clouds are coming over the mountains. It feels like an NBA storm could be brewing.
Ooh.
I don't know.
It's possible.
It's possible, but it also could be months from now.
Right. I did tweet at some point over the weekend. It's a little too damn quiet in the NBA
now.
And it had been there. And then, of course, we get our big news. And let's just jump right into it here on today's podcast. Woj and our guy Shams at The Athletic, they reported early today, especially in Woj's case, that the Boston Celtics are trying to acquire Kevin Durant. Okay. Boston apparently has offered a trade package centered around 25-year-old All-Star Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and a draft pick. The Nets refused, demanding Marcus Smart be in the trade. And then here are the four most important words I think of this podcast and maybe the next couple NBA podcasts moving forward here in the summer. No deal is imminent. But yes, we get this Woj bomb at like 2:30 in the morning on a Monday, and then Shams coming out with his Athletic article, sort of expanding on it a little bit, and then a whole lot more, which we'll get to. But I guess what was your immediate reaction to this after you got out of your baseball mind frame there with Trevor and pivoted to the NBA?
No deal is imminent. That is entirely true. I totally get that, but it's hard not to start thinking about the Celtics and Kevin Durant and just everything that would be a fallout of these two teams making a deal. And it's hard not to think that the Boston Celtics, as has been the talk for months now, you know, since Kevin Durant requested a trade, that they would be a good match because they have so many players on the roster and they are so deep. And then you start thinking about Jaylen Brown, who just tweeted SMH.
Uh-oh.
That's it. He's shaking his head. Just three letters, SMH, after these reports came down, because he has been in trade rumors forever.
Right.
You know, he said he's 25. He'll be 26 before the next season starts. And, you start thinking about these guys as people rather than assets. But as analysts here, you got to think about them as assets, because I start thinking. I just mentioned his age at 26. Kevin Durant's going to be 34 by next year. That's a lot of dog years in basketball terms. So if you're the Celtics with this deep team and you just signed Malcolm Brogdon or you traded for him, you got to be freaking excited about the roster that you've got going forward. Obviously, it's Kevin Durant.
Well, yeah, but I guess we're always talking about the championship window, right? So if you acquired Kevin Durant in this hypothetical, whatever it would take, you're not including Tatum, but they have the contracts. I mean, Bobby Marks had a tweet, like, obviously you have Jalen Brown's contract around $29 million. You got Horford, he makes $27 million, about 20 of it guaranteed. Marcus Smart, $17 million. Derek White, $17 million. Robert Williams, $11 million. Then you got Grant Williams at $4 million and Pritchard there at $2 million. So, like, you can make it work contracts-wise and talent-wise to get Kevin Durant. But back to the window, if you got Kevin Durant on the Celtics with Tatum, and then obviously you'd have a lot of pieces still, especially Brogdon being one of them, yeah, does the window open immediately even more for a team that was two wins away from winning the finals as it was? Mm-hmm. But then that the length of it,
sure,
is not as long. You know, with Jalen Brown still on this team, why aren't the Celtics a championship favorite every year for, I don't know, the foreseeable future? Half a decade, for crying out loud.
Well, they're not a favorite. I still love their chances. But, I mean, we had the conversation right after the finals. Are they the favorite from the Eastern Conference? I still think that they weren't a fluke finalist team. But around the table here, there was still some trepidation to call them a finalist team with the Milwaukee Bucks having Chris Middleton's injury. You know.
Well, yeah,
so
but
on.
Whether you have the Bucks ahead of them, and that's fine. I think if Middleton plays, they probably do win. But, I mean, they're in Tier 1.
Yeah,
of all the teams in the league, especially the Eastern Conference, to get there with the current team.
Listen, yeah. they are so deep after acquiring Malcolm Brogdon, and if you're the Celtics and you're in this weird discussion with the Brooklyn Nets, I call it weird because the Brooklyn Nets want to be good right now, and that's an odd position for me looking at them, because they want to deal Kevin Durant for a good player right now. And mm-hmm. if you really want Kevin Durant, you wait it out. I mean, it sucks for us because there are no deadlines here, and that's how NBA GMs operate. They're not going to make a deal until a deadline really is getting closer. But if you're the Boston Celtics, you know the Nets aren't going to get a better player than Jalen Brown around the league. They're just not.
Right.
And they're in this odd position. I call it odd because they're not going to win anything. Tier one, they're in like tier two, tier three, even after acquiring a guy like Jalen Brown. So the first rumor was Mikal Bridges / DeAndre Ayton. Well,
right.
Jalen Brown's in a class of his own, whether you like Mikal Bridges or not. I think this is the best guy that they could get. And they're in this weird scenario, as I said. They went and got Royce O'Neal. They're getting TJ Warren. They're getting guys that can help a winning team. And so I would be waiting if I was Brad Stevens and I really wanted Kevin Durant. But I do sort of hate it at the same time. I mean, I would wait, and I wouldn't trade Marcus Smart because you want him there. You also got Malcolm Brogdon to play a lesser role. As much as I've loved Malcolm Brogdon mm-hmm. in the past, he's always injured. He wants to take on a lesser role. He said he wants to be part of a championship team. So, you know, on the one hand, the Celtics should just hold out, and I think they have the best player available. And, you know, Brian Windhorst of ESPN came on and said that this is not a fresh offer from the Boston Celtics,
right.
This is probably weeks old, so it could last. But the Nets aren't getting a better player than Jalen Brown, don't you think?
Well, right, I was going to ask you that. From the Nets side of things, yeah, what key name coming back in a hypothetical trade package for Kevin Durant excites you the most? It sounds like you're going with Jalen Brown with the Celtics. Scottie Barnes, obviously, with the Raptors, the holdup there of the Raps not wanting to maybe include him in a trade. You already said the Ayton. Now that changes because of the sign-in trade, or excuse me, the straight-up matching the contract offer from the Pacers. So it would have to be, what, till January 15th? And then he even has the right to say, don't trade me in Ayton's case. Anyway, Ayton Bridges, Tyler Hero, lead heat package. I don't think that's going to move the needle for you. So, yeah, you think, of all those guys listed, that Jalen Brown is, if you're the Nets, the most exciting sort of, like, he's not a prospect. He's an all-star. He's a 25-point-per-game scorer already.
Mm-hmm. I find it weird for the Nets. I think they should be rebuilding rather than trying to be good right now. I think they should be looking for a different type of trade package for Kevin Durant entirely. But, yeah, the Celtics have their core. They're a freaking NBA finalist. They're deeper now with Malcolm Brogdon. It'd be tough, I'm sure, for Celtics fans to go from what they've had here and such a core that they've celebrated to, a core that, it's a buying, it's like a, you're going after it and just trying to buy superstars. And that feels weird to me, does it not? And I think this would be bad for Kevin Durant's legacy, even if he wins.
Well, I saw Jared Wade, a friend of the program, he tweeted here like 10 minutes ago, imagine how spicy the discourse will be if Kevin Durant squads up with a finals losing team for a second time.
Yeah, his legacy would be...
be rough.
A guy that goes to teams that just beat him. Because it wasn't just once.
Yeah.
I mean, he picked,
at least in this scenario, he's not selecting the Boston Celtics. He'd be traded to them.
But you've already got the reputation.
Yeah.
And so if you even have a hint of reputation when it comes to basketball fans, yeah, basketball fans will just pour it on. You know, they're emptying the spice rack. This is spicy. I hate it for Durant as well. I kind of hate it for the Celtics as well. It's so strange when you think about it. But they would be the leader in the Eastern Conference. They would be the favorite, no matter what.
Okay.
If Jaylen,
let's say
Brown,
it's Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, whatever.
Yeah.
And for Kevin Durant, you think then Boston leapfrogs the Celtics? Excuse me, the Bucks and any other team in the league.
Yes, I think so.
Well, that's the fascinating part. Like if you. I mean, it's tough to put a percentage on it, but like, if you think the Boston Celtics, currently constructed, adding Brogdon, Gallinari, doing like, tweaking around the edges here, going to the finals, like I said already, being young enough with your two superstars, if you gave them like a 25% chance, I don't know, I'm just pulling a number out of my ass, like a 25% chance to win the title this coming season, and then really, like, that means for like the next foreseeable futures, if they were there, 25, 30%, whatever, and then you traded Jaylen Brown as the key piece for Kevin Durant. Like, how high does that percentage go then? Does it immediately go to 50, 55, 60%? Like, it's probably a little bit of a bump, but then that's maybe only for a year or two. And again, that gets back to, like, this whole window thing. And I think it's a fascinating thought experiment of, like, you're a good team. You could get better, like, right now. But it's like, do you want to take that chance? Is that worth a gamble to just try and win that title right this season? And then who knows with Durant? Or do you like stick with what you've built there and have sort of a longer runway and more bites at the apple and more chances to get there and win it with the core of Tatum and Brown?
Yeah, it's...
that's tough.
It's tough. I guess we're kind of undercutting Kevin Durant. I throw out the number there. He's 34. But at the same time, his game should age. He should be good for several. He can shoot over everybody.
And look what's going on with, like, LeBron still doing LeBron things. Chris Paul still doing Chris Paul. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, he's Durant. Obviously had different injuries than LeBron. Yeah. People worry. Listen, Brad Stevens would not be doing his job if he didn't call the Brooklyn Nets. He has to call the Brooklyn Nets. 29 GMs should be calling the Brooklyn Nets. And I think, if we're treating them like assets, I think he could get this done probably with that package of Jaylen Brown and Derek White and a first-round pick and somebody else, so they could hold on to Marcus Smart in that starting lineup. Mm. And Malcolm Brogdon could be in that perfect role for him as a backup because he's been injured. He can't finish the season. So it would be really beneficial for the Celtics to have that type of roster. Mm-hmm. And I think, they're the favorite in the clubhouse for a year, two, three, four. I don't know how many years, it's an upgrade. It's a heck of an upgrade. And they have the Warriors template to go on. Oh, yeah. We just get Kevin Durant.
Sure.
And maybe you don't even, like, you talk about lead ball handlers and whether Marcus Smart can be a lead ball handler on a great team. Listen, there've been plenty of Mario Chalmers and Derek Fishers that win championships that are guys that are just there to hammer shots home when they get the ball. So, I think if you have Durant and Tatum on the wings, you win basketball games is what it comes down to. You figure out your other ball handler. I do think, again, with this strange Nets desire to be good right now, I think you hold out if you're the Celtics and you really want Durant.
Woj's wording was very, very interesting. Again, at 2:30 in the morning, and I think there's something to that. Like, what is going on?
Is Woj on vacation?
I don't know.
Is he in Europe?
People think, Tass, that this is actually all complete bullshit.
Mm.
And not that Woj and Shams have not heard it from their sources. I mean, these are the two most plugged in guys in the NBA. But like, what's really going on here? Is this like the Nets driving up the price for Kevin Durant? Mm. It's suddenly like, oh, okay. Jaylen Brown, the ability is the word that Woj used. Boston's ability to include all-star forward Jaylen Brown as a centerpiece. Is this just to get the Heat, maybe the Raptors, maybe a team we haven't even thought of yet, to be like, oh, okay. Okay, hold on. Okay, Jesus, man, they're offering Jaylen Brown. Maybe we do need to include whatever it is, another key piece, another promising young player, another draft pick or two, whatever, to then, you know, get the Nets to make that move. Because I'm starting to think that's what's really going on here, that this is just to like, pique the interest of these other teams that are already in the KD sweepstakes, so to speak, to, like, make their package a little juicier. Otherwise, hey, we could do this. We could do this. And for the SMH with Jaylen Brown, what is that? Is he SMHing at just the insanity of this rumor? You know, like, come on, God, here we go again type thing? Or is the SMH a little more personal? And it's more to Brad Stevens and the Celtics organization. I mean, who knows? Maybe we find out, maybe we don't. But there is that whole part to this, too. Like, how does Jaylen Brown take offense to any of this at all? Because he feels like he has in the past before being included in trade rumors. But
that idea sounds like you should be working in the Celtics PR office. Mm. You should be talking to Jaylen Brown and saying, this is all BS. And maybe Jaylen Brown knows that. Maybe Jaylen Brown is...
That's what the SMH could be
about. SMHing his head at... Yep. This constant rumor mill that we are in. I mean, the guy is working his ass off. I know Celtics fans are out there tweeting the videos of him working underwater and lifting weights.
Oh.
And I love watching those. Those workouts are incredible.
The underwater ones.
Yeah, with weights.
Who was doing that? Wasn't Korver and Joakim Noah doing
Joakim
that?
Joakim Noah was one of the original.
With the surfer.
With Laird.
With Laird. With a man named Laird. To go back to that. Okay.
So that's a possibility that Jaylen knows that the Celtics are... They're focused on him and Tatum as their core, I suppose. Again, I do think it's Brad Stevens' job to give a call. And
right.
And as other reporting has happened via ESPN saying that this is an old offer, so that there was conversations that happened, you know, weeks ago. And I do think that the Nets are not going to get that overwhelming package just because it's all about what teams are willing to offer. And sure... we're coming off the Timberwolves giving up a ton of draft picks for Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one particular thing that they thought they needed. And the Celtics, they're in a position where from a position of strength that they feel that they should feel that they're good going forward. And I do want to comment here. On a stream team comment, John Link says, Tass, the Nets have to be good now because they have no picks. LOL. I understand that, but they could be trading Kevin Durant for those picks, for a package like the Rudy Gobert or this Donovan Mitchell rumor that the Utah Jazz won 8 picks. I think
Wouldn't it be ironic if it was from the Celtics, a bunch of picks?
Yeah, of course.
Going back to the Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce.
Yeah. But I do think they
Bobby
should.
Bobby Marks trade.
I think they should be tearing it down, John Links, LOL, to get those draft picks, to be changing up, especially with the Kyrie maneuver.
Kyrie's still on the Nets.
Yeah. So,
and Ben Simmons.
It's an odd situation. But I'm so pumped for the Celtics rotation of what it looks like it's going to be with Marcus Smart, Brogdon backing him up. And Peyton Pritchard, you know, on the outside as the third guard, you know, then it's Jaylen Brown and Derek White at the shooting guard spot and Tatum and Grant Williams at the small forward spot and, you know, Gallinari and Horford at the power forward spot and Robert Williams at the center spot.
Okay, you're pumped about it, but it sounds like you would still make a move for Kevin Durant if it doesn't cost you, like, 5 of those guys.
Yeah. I guess. If
why don't you answer me, man? Yeah. Answer me. Which one is it? Yes or no?
I mean, it depends. If I know my locker room is going to integrate him well, then yeah, I guess you do it. I'm not excited about it in a way because, you know, a championship that is grown from the roots up feels like a real championship.
That's a you slip it in there though, but it is a part of this. Like,
of course,
you have to. If this were to happen. Kevin Durant wants to play for your franchise. That's a key component here. And yeah. The Celtics were not on his list of
his
teams.
List. Yeah. Yeah, and that's what gives a little credence to what you said about this possibly being a PR spin.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do it in a word? Let's say it's because we're going to come back to this freaking thing a month from now.
Yeah.
And we're still going to be talking about it. If it's Jaylen Brown, Derek White, couple first round picks.
Right.
Maybe that's not enough for the Nets, but.
Yeah, but would I do it from the Boston Celtics side of things?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, that type of deal. I'm keeping Tatum. I'm keeping Robert Williams. I have Brogdon in here now. I have a bunch of other guys. We are tier one, and now I add KD to the core. And look, I love Jaylen Brown. I am a huge Jaylen Brown fan. I think there's faults still to his game. We all mm-hmm. talk about him having to, get a guy to get that handle better, and mm-hmm. everybody sees you doing your spin, and then somebody doubles you, and that thing's popping out. And he had some rough moments, but man, he had some incredible playoff moments too. Like he is a talent. And so if I'm the Nets, like you said, of all these maybe realistic trades, hell yeah. Like if we are gonna still try and be good, I love a 26-year-old that's already proven to be an all-star, bit of a two-way player that has the drive to be better. I like that return. I mean, you're never going to get like an equal value for a player of Kevin Durant's status, but that's not bad. But I would do it. Mm-hmm. I would do it, and I get the reservations. I get you do want the team that's just the slow build and all yeah. that.
And the integration.
No way, because man, we saw it. They already have Tatum for crying out loud. Now they have a second one. They're going to make it work. I would have no issues and no concerns about that. Oh, there's only one ball and all that. Who cares?
No.
Two guys can give you 40 or 50. Mm. And I think, they are committed to get to playing defense as well if you have them to buy in. So
oh, yeah.
I would do it. I would.
I hear you.
I actually still don't think this is like a realistic thing here that KD's going to end up on the Celtics. I think this is Sean Marks. Wherever he is in the world,
apparently he
little,
could be on vacation.
Well, sending the little text or getting on the call there, seeing if Woj is up. You up? And and then talking and saying, hey, let's get this out here. I don't know what that says.
There's big questions. Does Durant want to play for the Celtics? Are they comfortable integrating Durant into that locker room? Those are big questions before we play, asset trading here.
Love it. I mean, I'm going on vacation next week, so the trade's going to happen with Kevin Durant while I'm gone. You know that. Let's get to some other juicy topics from this Shams article, The Inside Pass on The Athletic, theathletic.com/nodunks. Get yourself a subscription. He wrote that the eyes and ears around the league also remain fixated on the Jazz and the Knicks engaging in trade talks surrounding Donovan Mitchell. Shams reports that the Jazz are not operating with a sense of urgency and that the three-time NBA All-Star has not requested a trade or attempted to force his way out of Utah. And then, JD, I think you have the slide here. Shams letting us know of all the teams interested or expressed some interest in trying to get Donovan Mitchell to their squad, in addition to the Knicks, the Wizards, the Raptors, the Hornets. Ooh, remember my Hornets trade package a while ago? The Heat, you see New York there, and the Kings and the Hawks. Kaka. Look, there was nothing groundbreaking here from Shams on this one. Except maybe that he's not asking for a trade, and the Jazz are like, we're in no rush to like try and move him right this second. So let's just keep calling us and keep bumping up your package because we want all 8 first round picks from the Knicks. What do you got?
Yeah, we gotta just keep talking about this. And again, I hate that there's no friggin' deadline. Obviously, there's no deadline, but that's how we all operate. We work a little quicker when it comes to deadlines. I know I do.
Same here. Yeah. But hey, no deal is imminent.
Yeah.
All right, drink.
My question is with this. Do the Jazz want players or do they want picks? And if it's picks, then it's the Knicks. And if it's players, then it's the... I was going to say Raptors and try and rhyme it with players, but I don't want to say that word because I would say players... R-A-P-E-T-O-R. So I'm not going to say that word. But that would be the one if you want the players.
Right.
Because let's go through the other teams. I think it's the Knicks or the Raps, really. I mean, the Wizards have less picks than the Knicks. And then as far as their talent goes, maybe you want Rui. Maybe you want Denny Avdia. But those can be trumped by the Raptors and the Knicks to me. Okay, you like this Hornets situation?
Well, I mean, I threw it out a long time ago. I just want to look smart at this point, you know, being the first to it.
I don't remember your package, but they have young guys.
It was all picks-based.
It was picks-based?
It was Gordon Hayward's contract and Kelly Oubre to make the money work and okay. then all the picks they have. And, I mean, a big part of it is, you know, with what's going on with Charlotte and their brutal offseason for a number of reasons, not really doing anything. And then, of course, this insane cloud hanging over this organization with Miles Bridges and the charges he's facing, that it was the hypothetical of, like, we can get a star. We're Charlotte. We don't get a lot of stars here to pair with LaMelo. But that was my thinking, just the idea of, like, yeah. Because I think the Jazz only want picks. Picks, picks, picks.
Yeah,
that's all they care about.
I agree, and that's why I think the Knicks beat the Hornets package with their picks.
Yeah,
they do.
They got a lot of them, but those ones that they have from other teams, they're protected. You know,
there's protection.
They're still good, but yeah, there's still more, I guess.
Yeah, and that's interesting. Are you playing the hey, this team is going to be bad game when it comes to picks because
right.
the Sacramento Kings have their picks and are rumored here by Shams to be part of this, so that sort of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like I don't really love Donovan Mitchell with LaMelo Ball in Charlotte. You know, it's just that would throw a little bit of a wrench into the Hornets' future. And I think the exact same thing with the Sacramento Kings with their guard rotation of De'Aaron Fox, Davion Mitchell. They just got Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter. When we saw what happened last year with Tyrese Haliburton and De'Aaron Fox, and Fox having a bad season for him,
mm-hmm.
and whether that was impacted by Haliburton being drafted after Davion Mitchell was drafted, whatever.
Mitchell would be fun though.
Mitchell
just
would be
for
fun.
Content reasons,
but the Kings could be bad, and so especially in the Western Conference, so that could, I guess, that could push Danny.
Well, I was gonna say, if I'm Utah, I'm feeling good about betting on the future of the Knicks, the Hornets, and the Kings continuing to be. Somewhat bad. I mean, there are not that many other teams that you would say from their track record.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah.
And
I
what
guess.
They've done over the past two decades, you're going to feel somewhat confident in that continuing to some extent.
Yeah. I made that noise for the Knicks. I'm starting to ride the Knicks because they're going to be better. When we're talking about these three teams, the Hornets, the Kings, or the Knicks. I think the Knicks will be the better team.
Okay,
it's a tough Western Conference too, so maybe Sacramento is smart. But of all these teams here, maybe Sacramento. I'm starting to buy the Sacramento thing, but the guard thing that was a hang up for De'Aaron Fox last year. We saw a bad season there, so I think that could be a problem. The Heat, sure, they've got players and picks, but. I think those are both trumped by other situations that we've just been talking about. They're not giving up Jimmy Butler or Bam Adebayo. And the Hawks, what? The Hawks?
No.
They just got DeJounte Murray. They traded all their picks for DeJounte Murray. And now they got a pick back for Kevin Huerter, I guess. But that would be weird.
No.
Murray.
That's not happening.
Murray, Trae Young, and Donovan Mitchell. Come on.
I guess the idea is, you're including John Collins and you're getting off him.
That would be a strange...
I know.
Threesome.
I don't see it. I think it's the Knicks, isn't it? Just going to eventually
like
be New York, and it's
I'm
just how many picks.
I'm starting to feel this Kings thing, but no, I do think it's the Raptors. They have the players. I think there's a possibility. You know, OG would be one player. It's what the Jazz want. You want players or do you want picks? If it's the picks, it's the Knicks. If it's the players, maybe it's OG and one of if the Raptors are trading are willing to give up Freddie.
Right. Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah. And so I think that's as far as it goes. It's not going to Barnes. It's not going to Siakam level, I don't think. So OG would be a guy I think that Danny Ainge could say, well, this guy is a wing in today's game. He is perfect. He signed. He's not a max guy. We do need some players on this roster. You know, we traded Rudy Gobert. We should be trading Mike Conley. Bojan Bogdanović, free agent. So there's you know, you have to pay somebody. So OG would be a guy I think you could talk yourself into mm-hmm. paying. But yeah, I still think it's the Knicks, and it'll happen.
So we're just waiting to decide
how many. Picks?
How many is it? 5 to 8 picks. What is the number they're going to? I mean,
jeez.
It almost has to be that, right? And then young players, Quentin Grimes, Emmanuel Quickley. Do the Knicks are they demanding that they hold on to Obi Toppin? Are they not? You know, stuff like that. It's New York. It's just like, and again, that's why we get all this giant list of other teams. Like the Heat are always going to be interested in an all NBA, all star type talent. They're always going to make their calls as they should. As should every really team. And then these other ones, it's just like, wow us, you know, what can you put together? And maybe this will be a thing where a third and fourth team are included. It's, I mean, of these teams or not, to get into an eventual, what I think, and an eventual Knicks, Jazz, Mitchell going there, young guys coming back, and six picks, you know?
Yeah, or it's the lead player coming back from the Knicks. I know I was ridiculed for saying RJ Barrett could be going back, but to me, it's not quite this idea with the Hawks situation of starting Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, and Donovan Mitchell, but I think you would rather, alongside Jalen Brunson and Donovan Mitchell, you'd rather have a different type of player than RJ Barrett. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he is their best youngest player. But they didn't extend him for a reason. So I do think there's a possibility there. So I think that's part of the negotiation. And you're right, the picks, because they're coming from the Wizards and elsewhere, they have protections mm-hmm. on them. And maybe they're thinking about other situations where they're, you know, try and beat the protections. It's not even beating the picks. It's beating the protections mm-hmm. on these picks. So that we're getting into the weeds here. But I'm sure, as Danny did, when he was able to swindle the Brooklyn Nets, he's trying to swindle right now.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, again, from this Shams article, it's like, we're in no rush. I got all summer. And Donovan's not saying, get me out of here right now. Like, I don't think he's going to be there at the start of the season. I think it's probably in the best interest of the team acquiring him to get him into training camp, and probably even for the Jazz to, like, just get your great deal and move on. So I think it will happen before the start of the season. I don't think he's going to play another game in a Jazz uniform, but... it's still only late July here, unfortunately. But we got two months still, 2.5 months till training camp. It's a long time.
It's all right. We're gonna make shows.
Yeah, no, we're fine. We're fine.
Well, you sounded like unfortunately.
Well, I mean, a part of us wants these dominoes to fall. We're just looking. You ever watch those videos where they set up like a million dominoes and they click it? Well, okay, they're all set up, and we're just looking at them, and you just want to go over and hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's knock them down. Let's go.
Yeah.
But
what a feeling,
you know, because they don't look as cool when they're standing up, do they? Like these, they're so talented, these domino artists, if that's what they're called.
I think they look cooler when they stand up.
No, because they'll splay them, and then it's like fills in the negative space to make the picture or whatever they're making.
Mm, yeah,
that's my opinion.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
But yeah, I think it looks good both ways.
Okay,
I love mahjong. I love dominoes for sure.
Pizza too.
Domino's pizza? Nah.
Oh, I love it. That's, you know, I
number
love
one on my list.
Domino's.
You'll
eat
it.
I've seen you at my house.
No.
Eat a thin crust Domino's
never.
Pizza and
never.
Enjoy it.
Never. Never touched a thing.
In fact, anytime everybody hates Domino's, they say they hate Domino's, but then you order Domino's, and if that person has enough drinks in them, they'll be like, you know what? This isn't as bad as I thought. I think Domino's is a bad rap overall. And then you eat it, especially a thin crust, which I'm a big fan of. Oh, it's got a little snap to it.
I agree 100%.
Thank you.
What? That if you have a few drinks in you, things are better?
Well,
yeah.
I'm just saying, I think Domino's gets crapped on
too
quickly. And I just don't think people are ordering it enough.
Yeah.
They forget. They don't know even.
You got to get the thin crust.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's Yeah,
it's
think
perfectly
it's the best
fine.
Option.
I know. It's yeah.
That's fine.
Domino's pizza. Perfectly fine.
Final piece of news here from Shams. I did a weekend shift on Russell Westbrook. I sort of led the podcast with this and what's going on there. But Shams reports that the Jazz, the Knicks, and the Indiana Pacers, which was the team I talked about a lot there on Saturday's morning's podcast, are among the teams who have discussed deals with the Lakers involving Westbrook and draft capital. There appears no deal imminent in those conversations as the overall trade market plays out over the next couple months. That's, again, from Shams there and his inside pass on the Athletic. So, yeah, interested to hear your thoughts on these three teams, the idea of draft capital, and the stuff I talked about with Westbrook, and the rumor out there was the Pacers were on board to do this. You trade us Westbrook. We'll trade you Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. Okay. But we want two first-round picks, 27 and 29. And by all accounts, Rob Pelinka is saying, no, we don't want to do – that's too much. Just take one from us to get us off of Westbrook and to give us good players back, too, is the other part. But, yeah, thoughts?
Well, I do think that there is a domino that has to fall here first before the Lakers would pull the trigger on this and get Buddy / Miles Turner. Although, yeah, it makes sense. Obviously, that helps our roster. I think they'd rather have Kyrie Irving. And I think that's the domino that has to fall. Now you tell me, you're the expert on this. You've got this. You've got this down. What happened? What happened to the Spurs? The Spurs, I thought, were mingling.
Yeah, they're mingling because they're saying, you know, cap space available here.
Yeah. So what do the Lakers want? Because if it was the Spurs, it would just be trying to get off Westbrook rather than with the Pacers. Seems like it would be about Buddy more so, and Miles Turner as well.
Yeah, I think
it's about picks or players, or not having to give up picks or a certain player. I think it's about Kyrie.
Well, the Lakers want to, you know, they want the best of both worlds, right? We want to get off Westbrook because LeBron's done with him. We're all done with him, and he might be done with us. His agent's done with him. Everybody's done with him. So we would like to get off him. We understand that's going to take a first round pick. I think that's where we're at with that. But then they're like, oh, you got some players that aren't a part of your long-term plans in Indiana. We will gladly take a defensive-minded center in Miles Turner. You know, Anthony Davis never wants to play center, so there's that. And a shooter in Buddy Hield. Yeah, we'll do that. And so the Pacers are saying, well, yeah, okay, that's going to take a pick, another pick to get those two guys. Because you can't even probably get a first-round pick for just Miles Turner or just Buddy Hield right now. I mean, it's like, otherwise I think the Pacers would have done it. But that seems like a reasonable ask from Indiana's side of things. You know what I mean? Like, we take Westbrook, cost you a pick, first round pick, and we also want another one for our players. But it's interesting that you think the Lakers would prefer Kyrie Irving. And I would assume the holdup, if it's there, is the same thing. I bet the Nets are going, give us two first round picks. We'll give you Kyrie. And, you know, we'll take on Russ. But then that one's funny because the Nets are sort of trying to get rid of their own headache in Kyrie Irving. The Lakers probably know that.
Yeah.
They're like, we're just trading headaches here. Mm-hmm. Why should it cost us two picks? So that's, you know, despite Kyrie's, I think we all agree, probably still being the more talented player at this point of their careers. But, geez, he's got his whole other issues, right? We'll even play for you, so.
Yeah. There's a lot of balls in this court. There's, a lot of scenarios here that could play out. One, I think it's pretty smart for every GM to be looking at the Lakers situation and saying, give us first-round picks, because when you're looking down the line at 27 and 29, who's going to be playing for them?
Yeah.
So it's feels like a LeBron leaving the Cavs situation and leaving the cupboard sort of bare. The team is going to be bad. Get their first-round picks when it comes down to it. Now, yeah.
And you know they're desperate. This is, by all accounts, they really want to get off of Westbrook.
Yeah, well, there was a three-way phone call that we talked about that Anthony Davis, LeBron, and Westbrook got on the phone and said, hey, we're going to work this out. I don't think that is absolutely dead, the possibility of Westbrook coming back and giving it one more shot. I don't think that's dead. I think, you know, he showed up to Darvin Ham's press conference. He showed up to Lakers summer league teams. Now, he didn't go hug LeBron for getting into the nitty-gritty, but he was on the Lakers bench and coaching and all that. Westbrook is not a quitter. He's not quitting on anybody. Now, odd. It is odd to hear his agent.
But has LeBron quit on him?
Yeah, possibly. His agent threw him under the bus,
yeah.
Which is – it's pretty bonkers. It is a pretty bonkers situation. Now, Westbrook is such a prideful guy. You could see him going the route of Allen Iverson and even his exit interview when he said Frank Vogel didn't give me a chance on this team. So, yes, I could easily see a Pacers trade for Buddy Hield, the guy that they almost acquired before Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would make sense. You just need shooters. I brought up Mario Chalmers as the starting point guard beside LeBron James. You need a guy who can knock down shots. Buddy can do that.
Yeah.
Very, very well. And so I don't know if Miles Turner is the hang-up. I know we say Anthony Davis doesn't want to play five, but I guess Miles Turner, is he going to be happy in that role?
So hold on.
Miles Turner's just said, I want more of a role. You're not scoring on this team.
You wouldn't – if you're Rob Pelinka
– yeah, what's the deal, man?
Would you include two first-round picks for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner?
27 and 29 with Westbrook for Bud.
I mean, you are
trying.
Like, hold on. You have LeBron still. He somehow is still not slowing down. Anthony Davis, man, this guy, all he does is shoot free throws at 4:30 in the morning. So he could be locked in if he can stay healthy. Like, we've seen those two as your star guys win a title. It was bubble title, all that. But, like, add more talent. Get off the Westbrook situation. You got a new coach in Darvin Ham. You know, there's maybe a little reinvigorated. Like, they're trying to win a title right now. It's LeBron. Right now. LeBron doesn't care about 2027. No. LeBron doesn't care about 2029.
No.
He'll be playing in Cleveland with his son by then. So, I mean, that's the question. I get it. Like,
he's not playing in Cleveland.
I get that Pelinka's like, well, yeah, but I also have to think of the franchise's future here. But at a certain point, I mean, you got LeBron coming up, contract extension and all that. Like, it's, you talk about the window. It's like, it's now. I think that's a fair trade, in all honesty, with the Pacers, who then I don't think Westbrook would play a second for him. But they get picks and guys that aren't a part of their long-term plans. And the Lakers could use those two guys, I think, in Turner and Hill. They're not even a playoff team right now, because of injuries, a big part. But like, I don't know, LeBron, AD, and those two.
Oh, you can talk yourself into it.
You're definitely more convinced they're a playoff, at least in the playoffs, competing.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the weeds, but I think Pelinka is haggling for protections on those picks. I'm sure, because that's important.
Yeah.
Listen, hey, this happened to David Griffin in Cleveland, where he dealt everything for LeBron.
Yeah.
And it hurt them in the long run. And then you see Kobe Altman come in and rectify that. And I think Rob Pelinka wants to be a Laker lifer. He doesn't want to get canned. He wants to do good by the franchise. So I think it's negotiations again. And I think Westbrook may give this a shot. Who knows how it's going to work out? It's a wild question. But Shams also dropping that little bomb there that Rasheed Wallace isn't joining the staff.
No, that's a bummer.
That sucks to be an assistant, because it seemed like it.
Think it's Westbrook related? Rasheed's like, I only want to be here if Russ is here and committed and in.
No.
Okay.
Probably not. But I don't know. Again, Darvin Ham, run through a wall for that guy. Maybe Westy is going to give it a shot.
Okay, so you're still holding out hope that
maybe Pelinka's giving him a month to see, because Hield and Turner will still be available.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, I see people in the stream team like wondering, and I think it's a fair question, like, who has the upper hand in negotiating here between a Lakers team with Russ and trying to get off him and those picks, and then a team that just wants picks, and in the Pacers' case, to move off players that really, like, they don't plan on being good, I assume, this year. Indiana, like, you know, they're giving the keys to Halliburton and their draft pick in Mathurin and stuff like that. It's like,
that's true.
You know, it's like, who? I don't know. It makes sense for them to ask for two, but maybe they come to an agreement that it is one in the end.
Yeah, so maybe it's a worthwhile game of chicken for Rob Pelinka to play. It's not a bad idea at all. It's not like even training camp is a deadline, really. Those guys can be hired guns and come in and hit shots and play D. Again, Miles Turner may not be happy, but he could be on a championship-type team. Whoa, did I just say that? I mean, it feels weird, but it is LeBron and Anthony Davis. Yeah. If they're playing 100%, then yeah, they're in the mix.
Big if, especially with AD, of course. But that's our thoughts there on a lot happening suddenly on a Monday morning. No deals imminent, but a lot of rumors there regarding, obviously, Kevin Durant, Jaylen Brown maybe, and obviously Donovan Mitchell and Russell Westbrook, and it goes on and on and on. We're going to take a break, though. When we come back, though, hit the beach, answer a few of your questions. Don't go anywhere. You got the stream team pumped with your Scarborough Town Center reference there. A lot of STCs being dropped. Very chill after school spot, some people were saying.
So that was well after my school time. I'm a downtown guy. I was a Girard Square guy. Any Girard Squares
out
there?
Wow.
Yeah.
Any GSs? Get your GSs in the stream team.
Get a little dicey at Girard Square at times.
Amen.
Scarborough Town Center, Jamal McGlory used to hang out there.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know. I think I've maybe been there once.
Yeah.
Maybe, because feel like Dub lived up there. I don't know if I ever went, though, now I think about it. I know of it.
It's a mall.
Yeah. all right. Stitch Fix. Shout out to them. Okay, let's hit the beach. Answer a few of your questions. Yeah, a little beach stepping. Send in your cues to nodunks@theathletic.com. You can tweet them in @nodunksinc. Hey, if you're feeling frisky, leave them right now in the stream team, or at least in the comments below the video as well. Okay, first one. Hi, diddly-o, no dunkerinos. With the fresh batch of rookies coming in, I am interested to hear your thoughts on which of them could hit some weird/great stat lines, like a 5x5, triple-double, etc. That's from Broderick in Melbourne.
All right.
Down in Australia. Yeah, okay. That's a tough question, man.
It's a tough question. I always go 5x5 as my go-to. Points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, 5 in each category. We haven't had one in a few years in the league. Yusuf Nurkic, if I'm correct, was the last one to do it. Now, when it comes to this year's draft class, you just got to look at the top. Paolo Banchero and Chet Holmgren. 1-2 could do it. If you look at Paolo Banchero in the summer league, I know it's summer league, but he showed the skills to be able to do it. He had a game where he had 23 points, 6 boards, 6 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. And I was very impressed by his passing throughout the entire summer league. And if a guy can drop dimes like that at a big man spot, like in today's NBA, guys can do it all. And that's what you're drafting at the top of the bracket, the top of the draft class. You're drafting guys who are extremely talented, extremely skilled. So I mentioned both those guys in the same breath, Paolo Banchero and Chet Holmgren, because they could both do it. Something that I thought would be done a little bit more frequently, the 5x5. I know it's hard to do. And you know, we've got our Kirilenkos and Akeems to look at in history. But, yeah, it doesn't happen very often. And I bring up, I guess, that it happens very often because I thought last year Scottie Barnes and Evan Mobley would be guys that could pull it off. And
did they get close?
Somewhat. I mean,
close in the 5x5 cases, like usually in the blocks or steals, it's like maybe 3, you know, in one of them. Is that close? I guess you're halfway there.
The closest was Mobley, 22 and 12 rebounds, 5 steals.
Oh.
But only 1 block with 3 assists.
Okay, yeah, see. You're still actually far away. That's the crazy part.
I think the assists are actually a little bit more, I don't know, underrated with these really skilled guys.
Yeah.
Barnes.
Well, it's tough to pair assists with the blocks, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so Barnes, who did handle the ball for the Raps a lot, late in games even, he was relied on. He didn't get there either. He had a game where he had 5 steals to go with 15.6 rebounds, only 2 blocks, and just an assist in that one. Yeah. So, anyways, I guess...
You need some, to pull this off, you need some cheap assists. And what I mean by that is you need like the, here, fire 3.
Here, Gary,
splash it.
Shoot it.
Here, fire 3, splash it. Yeah. You need like 3 of those.
That's hard.
And then I'll even say you almost need like a cheap block or two. What I mean by that is you need one of those plays where it's like you blocked it, goes right back to the guy, he goes up again. You get second block. You need like bang, bang, like right there. Get the 2 stats. Even if it's like almost looks like a steal, maybe they'll give you the block. You need something crazy like that to happen.
It's very hard.
Like it's very difficult.
It's hard to do. Yeah. Looking back, we haven't had a lot in the last decade. I mentioned Kirilenko and Olajuwon way back.
That's
playback. Last decade, it's only been Batum had one with the Blazers. Draymond Green.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Anthony Davis had one, and Yusuf Nurkic, just 4 guys in the last 10 years. So Barnes and Mobley, I do think there's a chance. They were 1-2 in rookie voting, so I guess by saying that Paolo Banchero and Chet Holmgren have a chance this year, I'm saying that they will be 1-2 in voting this year as well. So yeah, those are some great names. But Chet, I didn't even really talk about him. The guy loves to pass. He loves to get other guys involved, so he could rack it up. And I think Banchero could be more of a fulcrum, more the center of the Magic's offense than Chet will be with OKC. So I think Paolo's got a better chance.
Only thing I'd add to this question is, like, I think we'll see some of these rookies, like, have nights where they explode for, like, a 40-point performance. I think it's possible.
Ooh, 40 job.
Like a 40, you know, like 35, 40. Like, you know, Banchero, possibility. I think Chet, like the shooting too, like Keegan Murray, stuff he was doing in summer league.
Murray,
you know,
for sure.
Threes, you know, you just pile them up. Mathurin, I think I can get buckets. You can see it all coming together.
You're
on
talking
one night.
About 40 points.
I know,
though,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying I see some of these guys, one or two of them, having those nights where it's like it's 9 threes. You know, it's a lot.
Did Jalen Green get some close last year?
I don't know.
I feel like
you'd have to check that for me.
He had a big one. I don't know how many.
I would guess that at some point in the season he flirted with a 40 burger.
Late in the season when he got hot, if he was flirting. He had 41. That's why
there
it
you
was.
Go. Yeah. There you go. So, okay, I will lock it in. At least one rookie will have a 40-point game.
Lock it in.
Yeah, I feel fair. Confident about that.
We did get another extensive email,
and
it's interesting. I got to set it up before we get to it. It was a couple weeks ago on a Beach Steppin' podcast. We discussed that I was in the cottage of former NHL player NHL great, NHL Hall of Famer, yeah. Paul Coffey.
Yes.
But I made comments about the foundation of the cottage and that there was some wrestling going on and that I felt the cottage walls shaking.
I forgot
shaking.
About that. Yeah,
I
yeah,
felt
yeah.
it shaking.
Yeah, you weren't like super impressed by Paul Coffey's cottage. Whereas I was taken aback because I was like, Jesus, NHL player, Muskoka, like you'd think this is like a baller cottage. And you were like, it was nice, but it wasn't crazy.
I loved the accommodations, but it wasn't anything extravagant. It's not going on, you know, Cribs or if there's a show just about cabins or whatever.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of shows. I watch some of them. I love the shows where they like make the cabin in like Maine. Oh, yeah, it's amazing. Oh,
Maine, beautiful.
I just see that stuff. Well, right now I'm watching Alone. You know Alone?
Yeah. Yep. Oh,
new season of Alone. They got the best of the best out there now. They're at a place called Grizzly Mountain, first off. Grizzly bears running everywhere. I couldn't do that. That's
like everywhere around you?
Like they're like they see them a lot.
Not happy.
They
like
Canada? They give them a banger and they're like classic thing when you see a bear is apparently you have to yell hey bear. I don't know why. Hey bear. Hey bear. They all say hey bear. It's so weird to me.
When you said banger, I literally thought sausage. Why would they give you a sausage?
I thought you were going to say music. Nah, play a banger of a song.
Yeah,
I still
too.
Don't know what banger you're talking about.
It's like it just almost like
noise
a
maker? No.
Yeah, sort of like
cracker.
A like a firework almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
just literally just makes thing. A giant sound. Yeah, and scares the hell out of them. Or well, that's the thing. It sort of does. This guy's firing it off. Bear just kept coming closer and closer. It's like, oh my God. And
hey
they're
bear.
Out there by
hey
themselves.
Bear. Hey bear.
Yeah, I know. They say hey bear, man. why did I say that? Anyway, Alone's great. Oh yeah, we're talking about building cottages and stuff like that. I just love shows like that. Oh, I know why I said it. Because like the stuff they can build is just incredible to me, you know? I just like
Absolutely.
That's a skill I wish I they're just like they're engineers. They're like they're just like their minds work that way. My mind can't work that way.
I get you.
Right?
Yeah, same.
Incredible.
I do think it's incredible as well. Yeah, Danielle's mind works that way.
I
don't. And we don't see eye to eye ever. it's like we got to get Wendell Holland, who does.
Yeah, right.
Who makes those types of shows. You know,
when he was on Survivor, the guy was like building benches and swings and And just with the stuff out there and like pretty primitive tools. On Alone, you're only allowed to bring like 10 items. Hmm. I think like there's like a set of like things you have to have, but then it's up to you to pick and choose. Like somebody on this season alone went out without a fire starter, and they're just that confident in their fire making skills.
That's amazing.
To get it going, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Did they start?
The other guy didn't bring a knife. A knife.
Yeah.
So then he forged one. He found a nail, and he's literally forging a knife. It's like, come on.
What did he bring instead of
a
knife?
He bought a multi-tool, like which I'm surprised doesn't have. Maybe it has a knife on it, but like he wanted a bigger knife. I don't know.
It's Alone. Called Swiss Army it? Knife. It doesn't have a knife on it?
Yeah, I know. That's right. That's right. It probably did, but a small one, I guess.
Ah.
Alone, anyways. Grizzly Mountain. I'm all in on it. Oh, I was going to say this season, because I've watched a lot of them. Like, I'm not spoiling anything, but like we're really far in here already through the first 4 or 5 episodes. That's where I'm at. And like almost nobody's gone home.
Really?
Like they're just like, these are the best of the best, men and women.
Is it like All Stars? Like
no. They've done that before, though.
They've just found.
I think as the show gets more and more popular, you start getting more and more people like, I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I don't know. You probably just got more applications.
Right.
But it's the, you know what it is? It's it gets to people. It's the mental game. It's the loneliness.
It is called Alone.
I know. But it's fascinating though, because some people like, you can see it as soon as they've like. As soon as they stop like being busy, so either building their shelter, or building whatever, when they sort of like run out of things to do, you can see the people like that struggle with like, well, now what?
Yeah.
And now they're alone with their thoughts and their loneliness and blah, blah, blah.
And that's why you gotta keep busy.
It's the only thing that I would be able to handle. Everything else, I would be completely useless at. But being alone, no problem.
You think so?
No problem.
Really? You got family. You're gonna be.
It'll be a little bit of a relief the first couple of weeks. You know, it's like I start missing them.
Yeah.
The number one thing is just catching food, getting food. That's it. That's what they all struggle with.
Totally. Yeah.
It sounds hard.
Yeah, especially like the fishing is tough. It appears in this one.
Yeah.
It's like they're on a lake, but it's like really windy, so it's like really choppy, and there's obviously fish in it, but like they can't. Nobody's having that much success in this one, which makes it difficult. But
Sounds like the lake by Paul Coffey's cottage.
Yeah. Let's get to the email. Hey, No Dunks, longtime fan here from Muskoka, Ontario, Canada. I now live in Sudbury, but I grew up in Muskoka and Parry Sound. My dad is a retired carpenter. God, I envy him. And built many cottages for NHLers. Steve Yzerman, Eric Lindros, Wayne Gretzky.
Name drops.
Holy crap. My father literally built Paul Coffey's, air quotes here, regular ass cottage. I believe that's what you called it. Yeah. And I have some follow-up info. I would assume so. He quoted. Well, maybe I said it. He played hockey growing up. And one day when I was about 10 or 12 years old, my dad called me. And he said, I have someone that wants to talk to you. Next thing I knew, I was talking to Paul Coffey. And he was giving me advice on my game. Paul gave my dad a game used stick to give to me, and I thought my dad was the coolest guy in the world for facilitating this interaction. I gave my dad a call today after listening to the latest Beach Steppin episode, and I told him that some big NBA guys had talked about Paul Coffey's cottage on TV. And then he put bracket, I don't think he knows what a podcast is, so he just said TV. That's probably the right move. He was like, I remember that cottage. Apparently, it was nice, but smaller than the typical Muskoka cottages he built. Most of the other NHL cottages were 7,000 to 9,000 square feet. Steve Yzerman's, for example, was 10,000 square feet plus. Jesus.
A cottage.
That's not a cottage, yeah. But he thinks, the person writing in here is dad's, thinks Paul Coffey's cottage was closer to 4,800 square feet. For some reason, he remembers that. I told him that Taz would agree with that assessment, but I didn't have the heart to tell him that the foundation was mediocre. That makes sense. He would basically have been sort of like shitting on his dad. Like if
right.
His dad built it. But to be fair, hold on. But to be fair, his crew wouldn't have built the foundation. Okay, yeah, the cement guy's coming in. This seemingly random moment from today's episode gave me and my dad some laughs and reminded me how cool my dad is. Thanks for all that you guys do. That fantastic email and a great follow-up to Tass's comments.
Amazing.
About Paul Coffey's cottage from Brandon. Thanks, Brandon.
This is what it's all about, Brandon, bringing people together. And glad you and your dad shared a moment.
Your dad sounds cool, too.
He does sound cool.
Like building cottages for NHL players and knowing them a little bit and just being cool.
And also not knowing what a podcast is. It's pretty cool. Like,
that is super.
You think his
cool.
Dad just super outdoorsy?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could go on alone. He'd last for a long time.
Brandon's dad could kill it.
He'd miss Brandon, though, probably.
It's true. The envy of people who don't know what the internet is.
You
know? Like, I looked up Paul Coffey because I needed to add him when I was tweeting.
Yeah.
Not on Twitter.
No.
Not a surprise.
No.
But you said that his dad, retired carpenter, you envy him that he's retired or that he's a carpenter?
Carpenter.
Okay. Yeah. But you think he knows these players somewhat? You
said, I think he had at some point had obviously interactions with them. Got a stick
obviously?
From Paul.
Oh,
well,
he got
a stick from Paul Coffey.
No, I do think Paul's a nice guy. These these Canadian hockey players, nice guys.
Was Eric Lindros Canadian?
Yeah.
Oh, I always thought he was American. I don't know why.
Because he demanded a trade?
Maybe. Not a nice guy.
Well, because he didn't want to play for the Nordiques. Maybe he didn't want to play in Quebec.
Yeah.
No, he was a Toronto boy.
Who is the biggest of our era hockey player that was an American that you can remember? I got one right now.
Well, Brett Hull was born
in Canada.
Brett
Hull's a good one, yeah.
Born in Canada, but he said, no thanks. I want to be American.
Brian Leetch.
Brian Leetch.
I think he was an American defenseman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want to say Mike Modano.
He's American,
yeah,
for sure.
That was the only
Chris Chelios.
Very American.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow, nice pull.
What about Paul Kariya?
Canadian,
I thought, yeah, okay.
Chris Chelios tried out for the bobsled team. The American bobsled team. Trained for it anyways.
Yeah.
He used to ride the sauna in a garbage bag. Ride a bike in the sauna in a garbage bag.
To lose weight.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not good for you, Chris. Yeah, not good for you, but he was an athlete. I said Lindros was from the Toronto area. I could have sworn he was, but he's born in London. I don't know.
That's Toronto area. That counts.
No, it's 2 hours away.
No, it's not. London is not the Toronto area.
It's
Stop
not Vancouver.
It. What are you?
It's not
you're like, yeah, you're like the guy on the ESPN graphics showing us where places are on the map. Come on.
Somebody once asked me how much it would cost from the CN Tower to get to Banff in a cab.
Wow, like, what's the answer?
About the same as it would be to buy a car. That's what I said to the guy, but I don't know. It would be thousands of dollars. Thousands.
No one's taking that.
Thousands, yes. Thousands, for sure.
You'd have to hope you get one on the way back, that Uber driver.
This is in the 80s. This was before.
Oh, you said cab. Sorry, you said cab.
Yeah, cab. So...
Okay, he grew up in the Toronto area.
Okay, there you go.
Monarch Park, North Toronto Collegiate.
Do you think Eric Lindros knows the Scarborough Town Center?
No.
Gerrard Square, maybe? Yeah,
absolutely.
Hooker Gerrard Harvey's? Square. You think he's ever been to Hooker Harvey's?
Sure. Who hasn't?
I'm just picturing Hooker Harvey's right now, right by the old Ryerson University, which is no longer called that, of course.
Yeah, we got a couple emails in from TMU, MTU, Toronto Metropolitan
which
University.
Which one is it? You keep saying both.
I like saying both.
Okay.
Because I don't want to know. I don't want to know their name. No, I'm...
What is it? Metropolitan Toronto University?
I think that's what it is.
MTU.
Doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, it's
TMU rolls
it's
off the tongue.
It's horrible for me.
A little bit better.
Wait a minute. Maybe it is TMU. Toronto Metro...
It could be either one.
I guess we could find out.
Oh, nah. It's Toronto Metropolitan University,
TMU.
Formerly known as Ryerson University.
That rolls off the tongue.
TMU.
There you go.
The TMUs. They should have a EMU.
EMU, yeah. Go from the Rams to the EMUs.
Yes. EMU, EMUs.
That's good. Let's send in a recommendation. Okay.
I don't care enough to.
Let's take a...
just want to thank Kevin Coffey, Paul Coffey's nephew, for inviting me to the cottage. That's how I got to Paul Coffey's cottage.
Oh, right.
I didn't know Paul.
Yeah.
Like Brandon's dad knew Paul. I didn't know Paul.
You knew that little espresso. Do you recall that?
Yeah, this was high school when
we just
drank big coffees. Didn't know what espresso was back then.
Oh, and then Tim Hortons changed their cup sizes.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
Trey would be howling if he was there. Oh, yeah, let's take one more break. And when we come back, Tass has Tweet of the Night. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Mark and the Stream Team loving the Canadian content on today's podcast.
We're
There's
going
a lot of
hard
it.
When
CanCon
the three of us are
high.
In here.
Get that American out of here. Get that Aussie out of here. Just three good old Canadian boys talking about Hooker Harvey. Am I right?
TMI by TMU.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Well, we're here in the old C block, as we call it, in TV.
We made it.
Yeah, we
Jesus.
Did it.
We made. I mean, unbelievably, what are we at here? Like an hour plus for sure.
Yeah, these are the things that we learned going to school together at old TMU/Ryer. We went for 4 years for radio and television. This is the C block. It's called the circle back block today. Because we started with Kevin Durant, and let's end with him as well.
Okay.
Now, the first tweet actually comes from Draymond Green, Durant's former Warriors teammate. He said, I'm watching the 98 Bulls versus Utah Jazz finals. I can't help but notice our 2017 team. Can't help but notice this.
I know. That's my favorite part of this tweet. I can't help but notice. I need to tweet this.
Now, people have been talking about it recently. It was on Shaq's podcast, so it's in the news. Anyways, he said he couldn't help but notice our 2017 team would have beaten these Bulls by a dub. What does that mean? by a lot, I guess.
Yeah.
Because then he says, and these Jazz by 40 if they're going to play these brands of basketball. And that's why it's dumb to compare eras. That's a thoughtful ending there, I guess. Anyways,
yeah.
It's different basketball. Well, Kevin Durant chimed in, obviously part of those 2017 and 2018 championships. And he said, well, I can't tell you what the results would be, but I do know that Steve Kerr, who was on the Bulls team, would have demanded that we put Steve Kerr in as many pick and rolls as possible.
That's funny.
Well done.
That's good.
Well done, KD. I wonder if Steve Kerr used to say that to them, if it ever came up. I don't know, comparing errors. Anyways, you don't think Steve Kerr would scrap and fight past those picks? He's a scrappy little bugger.
Yeah.
I say little. Maybe he was 6'3". It is interesting. I went back and I looked. Steve Kerr played 20 minutes a game in those finals. It's not like he wasn't playing at all. He was the backup point guard. He was there, ready to hit shots. But his matchup would probably be Sean Livingston. 6'7", Sean Livingston.
Oh, yeah.
Who had
that jumper.
He had that
shoot over him.
Yeah, Sean had that 20-point game off the bench in the game one of, I'm not sure if it was that finals or the next finals, but he came off and had a big game. Mm. So, yeah, that would be an interesting matchup. But different eras, different ball. But Steve would be fighting.
He would be. People are in the stream team saying a dub equals 20 points. I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
I mean, there's a lot of people saying it, so I'm going to believe them. So I guess Draymond thinks the
they'd beat the
17 Warriors
20.
Are beating them by 20, and they beat the Jazz by 40. Mm-hmm. Didn't the Bulls beat the Jazz by 40 in one of the games?
In Utah, right?
Draymond Green, man. You know, that's just a guy that gets content.
He does.
I mean, he's helping out all these other shows. I guess ours included at this point. I'm going to tweet this. Give everybody some content for the first couple of days here of the week. That's what it's going to be. I mean, I haven't seen any of these other shows, First Take, whatever. I would like to guarantee that they're talking about who would win between the 98 Bulls and the 17 Warriors.
I mean, it happens every year.
Yeah, I know.
It is interesting that they're picking now. The Warriors just won the championship, but they still got to go back to the old 2017 Warriors. Well, like, they're not talking about anything in the last 5 years.
Yeah, yet. I know.
It's that Warriors team versus the Bulls team. So we're talking about the, you know, two of the best of their era, obviously, the peak Warriors and the peak Bulls.
So I guess, if the 17 Warriors are going to beat the 98 Jordan Bulls by 98, that means the 19 Raptors are going to win by, 30, 35?
Come on, there was no Kevin Durant.
There was, and then there wasn't.
Clay got injured. Anyway, I was going to say something else. Oh, talking about podcasts, last comment here. Andre Iguodala has his podcasts. And
everybody's got a podcast.
And Rasheed, as we just said, Rasheed Wallace not coming back or not being an assistant coach with the Lakers. New news from Shams Charania there. He recently said on his podcast, and it's still stuck in my craw.
Iguodala did.
Yes. Andre Iguodala said that Rasheed Wallace would be Giannis Antetokounmpo in today's game if he played today.
That's some content, too.
That's content.
Yep.
I like Andre Iguodala.
Yeah.
That comment is crazy.
Yeah.
We love
Rasheed Wallace. And Rasheed Wallace would kill it in today's game.
Giannis,
he would not be.
Well, now he's got to become Giannis Antetokounmpo. Part of it is motor. You know, part of it is a desire to... Giannis Antetokounmpo dunks on guys 5 times a game. That's not hyperbole.
Yeah, he gets stronger in minute 45 of a game. Yeah, I'm with you.
Rasheed, that's not Sheed's thing.
No.
No, that's fine.
Sheed would be awesome. Sheed was awesome and would be probably better in today's game.
He'd be a 20-point game guy.
Oh, easily, I think.
He could hit
But I'm with the Giannis comparison. Yeah, that's silly.
He's very, very good. Andre Iguodala, speaking about sort of the history of the show, if we're going Ryerson... Andre Iguodala, when we were fired by NBA TV, said he was going to start a media company and he was going to hire us.
See, he wouldn't hire us because we don't have those hot takes.
We don't have hot takes.
They're not hot enough.
Not hot enough. No, I think he's a reasonable, level-headed guy. I think the investments he makes are into companies like us, brands like us that have staying power.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's a smart guy. You're right.
Yeah. This brand was created in 2006-ish, and here we are. 16 years later. You want staying power? You want a return on investment? Like Andre Iguodala makes great investments. Here we are, 16 years to the day. We're going to order some Domino's.
Not to the day, but yeah.
Why did I say to the day? I don't know. That's just one of those things that people say. When it comes down to it, the bottom line is, at the end of the day, you know, it's one of those Fred Armisen sketch, you know? Not to the day.
Would Iguodala have been – would they have put him on Pippen?
Ooh, that's like
would he get some Spider-Man. Jordan minutes?
Oh, yeah. They'd give him-
who's guarding Steph? Is that Pippen?
Wow, we're going for it.
Is that Jordan? Is Jordan taking on that responsibility? That's fun.
That's going to be hard, MJ.
Yeah.
That's a lot of running.
Woo!
I mean, Ron Harper, probably.
Ron Harper. Yep. Great call. Yeah. Let's do a podcast tomorrow on who would win between the 2017 Warriors and the 98 Bulls. We'll go through every game, break it down. People love it. Who would get the most clicks of all time?
Yeah, that'd be our more successful show, but we're not going to do that.
No, we're not going to do that.
We have integrity.
Yeah. All right, let's call it there. Fun show. Again, a bit of a surprise, no dunks here. Tomorrow, no bunts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here in the No Dunks feed, TASS's new baseball podcast, Mets pitcher Trevor May is coming on to talk a little baseball. And feels like you got a lot to talk about. Obviously, him with the Mets and, hey, the possibility of a Mets-Yankees World Series, and the Red Sox just got their ass handed to them by the Blue Jays, at least in one of the games. I don't know how the rest of the series went.
They swept them.
Oh, my God. Let's go, Jays. Hum now, Jays.
Sox have been swept.
Okay, so the Sox had a rough weekend. You guys are going to get into all of that on No Bunts tomorrow. I know you got a fun game lined up with him. And you said, yeah, I didn't know this about Trevor May. I'll be honest, I didn't even know who Trevor May was. I'm not a baseball fan. But you said he's, like, into streaming and podcasting and all this good stuff. He's
multi-talented.
Unlike Brandon's dad, he knows the internet.
Yeah.
Is that right?
He streams.
Okay, great.
So I'm going to keep him on for as long as a stream of his.
Oh, you're going to like hours. Twitch it up. All right.
No.
You're going to be playing video games with him.
I won't force him to do that. Yeah, I listened to his podcast. Wow, it was difficult to understand.
Because he's like just so.
He's talking about games, gaming and streaming. And
stuff that's out of your wheelhouse and my wheelhouse. Yeah.
Listen, I now know some more games. Or names of games, you know.
The only game Fortnite. I know I'm seeing a lot of buzz about, I don't even know if it's actually a game you can buy yet or it's in a demo mode. JD, maybe you can help me out. Have you seen this game about the cat?
Yes. It's called Stray, right?
I believe it's called Stray. Looks sick. You play as a cat, right?
Yeah.
In a post-apocalyptic
it looks
sort of world?
Blade Runner-ish. I've only seen screenshots of it, but I don't know. A cat.
It looks sort of cool.
It does.
Sounds
look
wild,
cool.
But it looks amazing.
Like
the things I've
like
seen.
Like the cats.
Yeah. And I think you're
sort of like a.
I don't know.
I see
I think
Fortnite
you're surviving.
Like role
playing. Yeah. It's really slick looking. Like it looks amazing. But you are a cat.
I'll ask him about Stray.
Ask him.
Please.
Ask him. All right, Trevor May. No bunts tomorrow. No breaks coming on Wednesday. That's got its own podcast feed, its own YouTube feed. TK. And a special guest talking about the French Grand Prix. A lot went down in that one. And then probably later this week, we'll be back here in the Classic Factory with another NBA podcast. You never know. If Durant's traded for Jaylen Brown, if Mitchell's traded to the Knicks, I'm sure we would jump on and do an emergency podcast. So make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. And you can hit that little notification button so you know when we're going live. And if you listen to the podcast, thank you, thank you, thank you. Leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. And get yourself a subscription to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. That was a blast. Thanks to the stream team for all the comments. We will see you when we see you. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And one more comment from the stream team. A content suggestion. An alone pod. Please. I mean, you're watching it already.
Here's what's happening, I've noticed. Everything we talk about, and Nora's guilty of this too. She'll say, you should be doing a podcast on this. And I get it. I'm watching it, consuming it. I could talk about it. I just proved I could talk about it. But I don't want to do a podcast about every single thing I'm doing. You know?
Yeah.
You want to do a No Dumps podcast?
Oh, talk that about would be
our,
horrible.
Our, I guess in that podcast would just be our our
bowel
peas.
Movement?
Yeah, our bowel
movement. Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean,
so we couldn't call it No Dumps, but you know what I mean? No flush. So my point is, we can't do a podcast about everything. But if you want to start an alone podcast, holler at me, at JD Skeets on Twitter. I would gladly come on and be a special guest on your alone podcast. Shea Serrano, as I know, is a big fan. He should do one. I'd go on that.
He should do it.
Yeah.
We're a factory, like, so I get what Nora's saying.
We're a factory. You're right. Never stops. It's all about the bottom line.
Why doesn't Nora get on a show with Trey on No Breaks?
She doesn't want to go on No Breaks, but She does. She showed some interest, JD, in doing a Love Island podcast with me.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd see, because she like feels like that. She's an expert on that. She doesn't think she's an expert on
Right.
And Graydon's our F1 expert. Like,
what's
he's next
Love
level.
Island?
That's, is that like
Love
Island's Bachelor?
It's a hunk of shit show. Yeah. It's a reality dating show. It's great. It's so bad. Somebody but it's start... like a lot of episodes. A lot.
Like a week? A lot a week?
That's like, I think it's every day.
No.
Yeah, I think so. But she said we would do like, you could just do a weekly one.
All right, yeah. let's do it. It'll probably be the most popular thing we've
I
ever
know
done.
It would be.
It's a network.
It's infuriating, JD.
Hey, well, you know.
So if you have an idea for our Love Island podcast, what we should call it under the No Dunks umbrella, let me and Nora know.
What
no,
about our love
no sex?
No. They always are talking. Well, so the British one, it's always about chats. Do you have, is it good chat? Yeah, no sex we could do, yeah. Yeah. there are other things that I'm drawing a blank on right now that they always say.
Chats as in, like, is he a good chatter?
They say that. It's really strange. They say like, he's a good chat. He's got good chat. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
like
yeah.
that.
He's good chat.
I like that.
Definitely
I like
a British
that,
yeah. thing.
Good chat.
All right.
Good chap with a good chat.
Good chat with you today.
You too. I watched Love
Island. That
means
we're in a couple now. We're sharing a bed on Love Island.
Good chat.
What were you going to say?
What about Love is Blind? I watched a few episodes.
I love that show.
That was fun.
Yeah. I love that show. Do you have a favorite
okay, we're
right
doing
now?
A podcast. Oh, there's another season?
No, a favorite person on Love is Blind.
But is there another season? What do you mean? Like, I thought it was done.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about another show. I was thinking, is it Love on the Spectrum?
There is Love on the Spectrum.
The American version?
I was thinking about that. Completely different show.
I like the British version better.
Me too, yeah.
Of what?
Love on the Spectrum.
Okay.
What about the Circle? Anybody get into the Circle?
Nope. What about F-Boys?
I don't know what that is.
F-Boys, I am not clicking on that. I'm not.
My buddy Grish watched the entire season of F-Boys in one night, he said. But he does the whole thing where he fast forwards through basically the entirety of it because you can with shows like that.
Yeah.
Do you consider that watching the entire season?
No.
I don't either.
No.
Yeah.
What's he stopping on?
It's just basically the end.
Right. Why though?
I don't
Why?
Know.
F-Boy Island? Is that the show?
F-Boy Island, that's it. Yeah. I thought it was called F-Boys. Yeah, F-Boy Island.
Three women try to work out which of their 24 suitors are, quote, nice guys and which are self-proclaimed F-Boys.
Listen to the concept of this show. Okay, we got to end it here. We'll see you on our next reality podcast coming to you soon. Embrace the day, people.